they did do SpongeBob a little dirty. I saw the whole, the trumpets going off, the horns, and I was like, here we go, mm-hmm. here we go. And then they just brought it right into, what was it, Sicko Mode?
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
Without his mic, too, did you notice? They didn't give him the proper Travis Scott mic, like, to really give his performance.
Auto-tune?
The auto-tune.
They didn't auto-tune him, and that's the problem. Yeah, you're right. They didn't auto-tune Travis Scott. I don't know, but I'm on the fence with that halftime show. I'm thinking it's a solid, I want to say D.
I will say when Big Boy came out, though, that was pretty OG.
It was pretty cool, but I mean, come on. It's the Super Bowl halftime show. And we've been treated some pretty good spectacles. Bruno Mars.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Phenomenal halftime show. Lady Gaga. Beyonce. Mm-hmm. So I think that doesn't really fit.
No, and lastly, too, on the halftime show and the game as a whole, I mean, there was controversies outside surrounding. I mean, the game as a whole, you know, people should have said the Saints could have been there over the Rams. And the halftime show, people hoping for Cardi B, but she, of course, stepped out because of the whole Colin Kaepernick situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's so many other factors that played a part into the whole event, the whole evening itself.
Yeah.
But overall, you know, Tom Brady, 6th rings, greatness is upon him. And, you know, touching on greatness real quick, to bring that around to our Laurier teams, we had some greatness occurred for our Laurier team
this past weekend. There was a lot of teams. So this episode of Hawkeye is going to have a lot of stuff to talk about, man.
A lot of greatness.
We have, we're going to go through our athletes of the week. We're going to talk about some upcoming events that are coming up this week, some good ones, including some curling.
Oh, yeah.
There's no sport like curling, let me tell you.
It's a very calm and collective sport, I like to think.
But it's like it pulls like calm and collected, but there's a lot of yelling.
Oh, yeah.
We're also going to go through some of the men's and women's hockey. And as always, we're going to finish with a little men's and women's basketball.
Big weekends.
Big weekends.
So jumping into things with our athletes of the week, starting off first with our men's athlete of the week. He is from your men's basketball team. We all know him. He is second in the province right now with points per game average. With around, I believe it is 32, if I am correct.
That's absurd.
He is our men's basketball guard, a point guard, Ali So. Just having phenomenal season. Phenomenal season.
To say the least.
He led the purple in gold with 22 second half points, including 17 straight, overcoming a third quarter deficit on the road against the Mustangs. He shot for 32 points against Western before posting 30 points against the Lancers, adding 6 assists and 5 rebounds in an 85-82 victory. Second-year comm study student, shot 20 for 35 from the field and 8 for 15 from the three over 2 games for the Hawks. Just killing him. Just killing, to say the least. And then our Women's Athlete of the Week, we have Sydney Patterson from the Women's Middle Distance, as she put on a resilient performance at the York Open this past weekend against a very competitive field in the women's 1,500-meter event. After a near trip early in the race, Patterson recovered and put herself back into a strong position, holding third and fourth place steadily throughout the race. With 300 meters remaining in the race, the third-year kinesiology and physical education major pushed hard to get herself a gap in the lead, ultimately winning the race by 25 meters in a time of 4 minutes, 41.36 seconds.
Impressive.
Third time this season she's been recognized as Laurier's Female Athlete of the Week as well. So congrats to those two.
Yeah. Always got to shed a little light on our Laurier Athletes of the Week.
Absolutely.
It's an accomplishment that I've never done.
I know. I can say the same. Not in here, not in high school, not elementary. Can't get one.
It's definitely an achievement that should be celebrated anytime you get it.
Absolutely. So congratulations to those two, and be on the lookout for them to be repeating as Athletes of the Week in our near future. Shifting gears now to our future. We got some things coming up over there, don't we?
Yeah, we do got a few things coming up. So if we're going to look ahead, we're looking at swimming. Mm-hmm. Coming this Thursday through till I think Saturday is going to be the OUA Championship for swimming. So that's going to be held in St. Catharines, so right at Brock University. There are going to be some of your Golden Hawks out there competing. So definitely if you're willing to make the drive, definitely go check it out, because – you know, even in the last Invitational, the Toronto Invitational, some of your Golden Hawks put up some fantastic performance. So definitely want to go check that out.
Absolutely.
The next one you're going to see is this coming Friday is the indoor middle distance. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be down south.
Oh, yes.
You see that?
Oh, yes. Congrats to them, all the way in the great state of Ohio.
I mean, that's not usually how people describe Ohio, but...
They have my Bengals, so they are a great state.
Okay. Moving on. They're going to be in Ohio this Friday and Saturday. So if definitely keep tabs on that. That's something to be... That's pretty cool, I'd say.
Oh, that's absolutely cool. Anytime you get to go across the border, that's phenomenal.
Right? And I think it's always... Kiefer and I, we've talked about this before. It's always cool, you know, when you get to, you know, just compare American universities to Canadian ones. And, you know, more often than not, you'll be surprised that Canadian universities have very comparable talent.
Absolutely. We're not just saying sorry for everything we do.
Listen, we are not apologetic for the fact that we have good athletes up here on this side of the border.
Absolutely, sir.
Also, this happening this week, we're going to see the men's and women's curling are going to have the Laurier Invitational. So for the women, it's going to be on Saturday, the 9th. They're going to be facing Toronto, U of T, Guelph, and York. So definitely keep tabs on those. Feel free to go check it out at the KW Granite Club and support your Golden Hawks. And on the men's side of things, at the same KW Granite Club, same Saturday too, the men will be facing off against the Crosstown Waterloo Warriors, the York Lions, and again, the Guelph Griffins. So both men and women will be at that in the Laurier Invitational. So definitely go check it out and support your Golden Hawks.
Absolutely. And actually, I must ask, where is the KW Granite Club?
That I do not know.
We'll come around back to that.
I will look it up for you right now.
Because I honestly, I didn't even know we had that.
The KW Granite Club is on 99 Seagram Drive. So that is basically on... Oh, you know where... Okay, so when you're on the... You know when you're on... you're trying to go to the stadium?
Yeah.
And then there's like... Okay, so there's like the stadium parking. Mm-hmm. And if you keep going...
Oh, you talking about the big bubble?
No, the big bubble's tennis in there.
Oh, really?
You know there's like the rink beside it?
Yeah.
That's the KW Granite Club. KW Granite Club? Yeah, wow. Right here on campus, basically. So definitely go check it out.
That is so much closer than I thought. I had no idea. I you know, I guess, you know, it's ice rink. I mean, obviously, play hockey there. And we can't play hockey there.
Are we allowed to use it as students? Because, you know, we should go get our curl on.
Our curl on?
Hurry
hard! Oh, absolutely. Need a nice brush going
you
on.
You know what I'm saying?
Push the rock down the course. That would be fantastic. Absolutely delightful to do that. Speaking of the ice... We had four hockey games occur.
We did.
Last week, two from the women and two from the men's. Starting off first with our women's team. They had a bit of a tough go. As they played UIT, that was in Oshawa, and then they played Queens the following day. Some unfortunate losses that they picked up, losing to UIT by a score of 6-1 and losing to Queens by a score of 3-0. I mean, initially... What do you always take away is the positives, and we scored a goal, so
that is
scoreless couple of games.
Exactly.
So, you know, to say the season's been tough would be a bit of an understatement. You know, they've had some definitely difficult games throughout the year, and there's definitely been some points of improvement, some points of hope, I would say the least, and some points that show potential. But... As I have said throughout the three words, the three statements there, they're all just simply points. They aren't all together just yet, and that's just something that's still a work in progress. You know, keeping it, putting it all together, making things go from a point to a consistent basis where you can look to forward to seeing this week after week after week. And, I mean, looking at it too, UIT, you know, middle-of-the-pack team, they got 22 games played, 9 wins, 11 losses. They scored about... 52 goals for and had 60 goals against. Currently, I do believe the second highest in the OUA for women's hockey for goals against. So, it wasn't necessarily a team of top-tier combatantry that just kind of came and just swept the floor. It was a team a bit of lower rank, but mm-hmm. a higher-ranked team regardless that just simply had their way.
Yeah, and I mean, I think as we go down in the last couple games of the season here, the OUA seeding, I believe, is pretty much all set. Mm-hmm. I'm not actually sure if there are any spots up for grabs.
I think it's like the top six or top eight.
Yeah, so I think that's already everyone who has clinched has clinched already. So these last couple games are more for developing sometimes young talent and just seeing what kind of what you have on your roster, especially from a coaching aspect. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily Laurier is looking. Of course, you look to win every game, but it's not per se you're looking to get into the playoffs because that just can't happen this year. So, I mean, Cohen Myers didn't start this game. Mm-hmm. We had Nicole Jonkis in net, mm-hmm. and it was a bit of a tough outing, but she did see 28 shots. So, you know, I mean, you never want to see six goals on 28 shots, but it is more about getting other people some playing time and kind of just seeing what you have in certain people in different situations. And that's what these next couple games are going to be for your Golden Hawks. It's not necessarily... let's win out because that doesn't help you in any way. Mm-hmm. It's more about can we get people some meaningful playing time, some younger athletes, just to see good game experience, and that's really what these games are coming down to.
Absolutely too. And if I was to take like a little bit of a pro level comparison, first team that jumps off my mind right away is the New York Knicks, for example. You know, they're a team that they have some talent, a lot of talent for sure, but what they're focusing on right now is individual youthful growth. And
losing,
you know,
games.
And losing games, you know, tanking for Zion. But, like, you know, they have a great coach over there, a great system, very much a player's coach.
Yeah.
And they have, again, as I said, some stars, you know, some players they just drafted recently. They're trying mm-hmm. to grow. And they also have veterans who aren't seeing as much playing time because you're trying to grow the younger players. And the point from that is that it's about recognizing what the team's trying to do and not getting frustrated with the outcomes. You know, you're going to get these outings where a team that may not seem as strong on paper will come out and still beat you with a score of 6-1. And as an outsider perspective, as a fan, that'd be frustrating because you'd be like, you know, why is this happening? Oh my gosh, 6-1. We've been playing so good before this. You know, our previous losses were 2-1, 3-0. We even won a game 1-0. We were playing so tight, then this happens out of nowhere. That is all part of the growing process. You will have these growing pains that will occur. Sometimes not consistently, sometimes, you know, infrequently, and in other occasions they will happen more often than you'd like. But as long as you can see individual growth in the players, their ability to rebound from adversity, their ability to keep themselves focused, even though games themselves may seem out of reach, that is what you're looking to build upon, and that is what gives you hope for the team as a whole going forward in the future.
And it's so important to recognize that, you know, as you said, it's about going forward into the future. Mm-hmm. And that's really what your sights are on. So it's not something to be down about. It's definitely something to be, you know, optimistic because it's like, what do we have here? And that's really the sign of it's an optimistic sign right now. And so we'll touch upon the second game there briefly. The Queens game, which was at Queens, and that was the 3-0 loss to the Queens Gaels. It wasn't anything particular. Laurier, unfortunately, was not able to notch a goal in it. Queens was able to get out to a quick start by getting the first goal in the game. And really, from there on, Laurier really never had a shot. They were just unable to grab a goal after that. Being outshot on the day 27-18. Kiefer, what are your thoughts on this game?
Well, you know, first thing that you see right away is it's not 6-1, right? So it's immediate improvement. You know, it's the ability to take what happened yesterday and just bury it.
And some of that has to do with, obviously, the goaltender change. Cohen Myers did start this game.
Absolutely, too. And, you know, seeing a total of 18 shots come out of her way and, you know, 27 shots in total by the team, the opposing team by Queens. You know, one thing we have touched upon quite frequently throughout the season for the women's hockey team is a bit of discipline and sometimes a bit of lack thereof. As in this game, there was a total of 14 minutes of 7 infractions. And of, you know, some penalties, again, body checking, cross checking. We've had our jokes with that, you know, about having a good, tough, gritty team and how it can be beneficial. But again, it's about walking a fine line. And, you know, as great as it is to show that you're not scared of the opponent across from you, it's also important to just, you know, only get one or two penalties, show your toughness, but then buckle down and keep your feet, you know, on the ice and keep your eyes glued towards the net and not everyone around it. And unfortunately, as the game went along, Laurier lost a bit of track of that, seeing as they got a couple penalties, the only two penalties in the third, and just an abundance of penalties in the second period as a whole. So, you know, a lot to grow, a lot of room to grow, But again, by no means is this a step backwards or a step sideways. There are always steps forward. Each and every game is about taking a step forward in some capacity. And whether the takeaway you want from this game is that maybe the next game we have a couple less penalties and maybe we lose by 2-0, 3-0, or even 1-0, that's a win. Mm-hmm. That's a win as a whole right there. Or even next game we score a goal and, you know, we get some more confidence for ourselves there. It's just about picking away each little thing and just perfecting that little particular thing and just growing as a whole, as an entire unit. And the product will become itself as the time progresses.
Yeah. So your women's hockey team are going to have three remaining games, two of which will be this week. The next one is going to be another home game this Friday, and that's going to be against the Western Mustangs. That's going to be at 7:07 on Friday. And then on the Saturday, they're going to be once again at home, and they're going to be playing the Windsor Lancers. So one of the last few opportunities you have to go support your women's hockey team. So definitely be on the lookout for that. Both of those games will be broadcast on OUA TV. And the Windsor game on Saturday will also be right here on Laurier Radio.
Absolutely. So do tune in if you can. Shifting gears now to our men's side of things for the men's ice hockey. Two different contrasting games.
Very different games. The game against Ryerson, which was an away game in Toronto. Unfortunately, your Golden Hawks were not able to secure the victory in a tough 6-2 loss. But then returning home on the Saturday, they were able to have a very high-scoring affair with the Western Mustangs, where your Golden Hawks were able to beat the Western Mustangs with a score of 7-5.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, they say offense wins games and defense wins championships. Well, of those two statements, you gotta factor in what's more important at the time. You know, playoff time, it's all about buckling down, you know, getting good defensive goaltending from your goalie, which you have, and Tyler Fossil, you know, had a bit of an off night in the game against Ryerson, but how she goes sometimes. But overall, he's been very productive, very consistent throughout the season, so a lot of faith you can have in him. And the great way to bounce back whenever you have an outing where your opposing team scores 6 goals on you is to come right out and not just score 6 goals yourself, but score one more and score 7 against not just anybody, but the Western Mustangs, one of the most hated schools in all of Ontario if you don't go there. Just throwing that out there.
I really do think so.
You go talk to anybody who doesn't go to Western, and I bet you they'll say the same thing.
100%. I totally agree.
For sure.
I you will not find me over here arguing that point.
No, absolutely not. And to beat them 7-5 is phenomenal.
Especially when you consider where Western is on the standings. I think that's what makes that just even that much more impressive. Mm-hmm. Right now, Western has clinched their playoff spot, but Laurier is very much so in the hunt. Mm-hmm. And they're battling right now against Guelph, York, and Windsor right now. So it's definitely going to come down to it. So these games are very important. And it's really nice to see, you know, when the Golden Hawks are able to play an opponent that is definitely up there in the standings, ranked right now third in the West.
Absolutely, too. And, I mean, just taking a little brief look ahead as well. I mean, Laurier's next couple opponents will be against Waterloo and Toronto, so a couple of teams that are pretty low in the standings at that. And just looking ahead at some of the other opponents that Laurier is currently in the hunt behind right now, looking at the York Lions, their next couple of games will be against the Brock Badgers and the Ryerson Rams. So, I mean, that spells good news for our Golden Hawks, considering how Ryerson's right now the second-ranked team in the Western Conference with the 18-5 record. As well, looking at the Guelph Griffins and their upcoming games, they as well have a couple of games coming up against the Toronto Varsity Blues and the Windsor Lancers. So another team that's just right there in the thick of things. So ultimately, you need some help for sure because they are behind by a couple points, but they're not in a position where anything is out of reach. If anything, they're in the best position possible because things are just so exciting when you're just one of those teams in the hunt. You play so much harder. You know, all the goals become so much more crucial. As a fan, you love to watch this stuff. Mm-hmm. You love it because it's the best kind of hockey there is when everyone's trying so hard.
Yeah, and this makes me especially excited when you look up who Laurier has to play next. Mm-hmm. I think you know, there's always the idea that, you know, you got to win out. Winning out is important. But I think it's a little bit more optimistic, especially when you look at who they're going to be playing to win out. They're going to be playing a Waterloo Warriors team coming up this Thursday, and that's going to be in the Kitchener Auditorium. So this is going to be a nice big event where, you know, there's going to be a lot of people there. And Waterloo is not the cream of the crop in terms of what they're working with right now. They're a team that has given up over 104 or 100 goals this season.
Christmas just never soft for those guys.
Which I think that makes them the third highest team to be scored on this year. Mm-hmm. So they're not exactly stingy with giving up goals. And then you're going to play on the Friday. You're going to be playing Toronto. Now that's going to be in Toronto. But again, Toronto is going to be a team that is below you in the standing. So this, to me, is going to be more one of the more exciting games, I believe, just because you're going to be seeing a Toronto team that is really going to be fighting for that last spot, who, honestly, record-wise, is pretty similar to your Golden Hawks in terms of goals for and against. So to me, this one is going to be an interesting one, but it's a game I really feel that our Golden Hawks can come out with.
Oh, absolutely, too. And I mean, if anything, what's a better situation than playing the last place team and the third last place team and two games that are basically must wins?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't line it up any better.
And that puts you on a 3-game win streak just in time to go into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's all about timing when it comes down to win streaks.
Oh, absolutely.
It gives you the momentum, and there's nothing like riding the hot hand going into the playoffs.
You know, that's what I've always said about sports video games, is that that's the one thing, except maybe the one NCAA college. I think they used to have a way.
NCAA 07 they tried it or something like that.
You can't really reciprocate momentum, because it's just something that you just feel as a player in the situation. You just feel good. You know, whether or not you're an amazing shooter, you're an amazing thrower of the football, you're an amazing, you know, catcher or whatever you may be, there's certain levels that you feel individually that momentum can dictate to such a degree. I mean, like, you know, always there's those people who say they don't feel pressure, they're just always calm, that doesn't matter to them. But there's no lie in saying that, you know, when the crowd's behind you, everyone's going nuts, and you're up by one goal with maybe 3 minutes left or something like that in the period, you're feeling good. You know, you're a little tense, but you're like, you're in a good position. You feel like the shot's been finding great. You know, everything's just going your way, as opposed to vice versa, where it's just like you're tense.
Oh, you're totally right. Mm-hmm. It's not about whether momentum's a real thing. It's about how do you react when you feel that pressure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's even the greatest players, doesn't matter what sport, it's either they crumble in the big moments or they shine in the big moments. And that's what it is. It's momentum. Can that carry you through? Remember when the Jays were in the playoffs a couple years ago and Bautista hits that massive home run?
Seventh inning.
And, you know, when you go back and watch even just the footage of it, you will literally see the entire Rogers Center is shaking, because that's what momentum does. And the game was not over at that point.
No, it was not.
There was still two innings left, and me sitting on my couch, I knew that game was over.
Oh, 100%.
From that point on.
No coming back.
But that's what momentum gets you. Momentum is something that just, it makes you just feel a million pounds lighter. It makes you just have the confidence of anybody. Just to know, you know what? I am the baddest person in right here, and I'm gonna win. And it doesn't matter what you say. So momentum is gonna be huge. And, you know, coming off of a Waterloo, where I feel that could be a high scoring affair for your Golden Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And then playing Toronto, going into the playoffs, where they might face a Ryerson or a Brock. I mean, I would look out if I were them.
Absolutely, too. And I mean, taking away their last game. If you go back to the 1st of January of this past year, they played Ryerson, and that was at home, and they only lost 4-3. So, I mean, you know, anomalies happen where you lose 6-2, but it's not consistent with who they are. So, by no means would I let that score dictate the title of what this Golden Hawks men's hockey team is. And I would take more of the discretion of the 4-3 game, as that was much closer, And they were right there hanging with Ryerson the entire time. So,
and it's still a best of three. Still a best of three series. So, hey, you know, you're going to have it in game one. And then if you can get that momentum right into game two, right into game two, and you can finish them out and you can knock off a one seed. And what does that do for your momentum now?
Oh, so dangerous, so lethal. Not to mention if you win game one, two, you get game two at home. And ooh, just have the home crowd behind you. You love it. You love it. So, again, just touching upon briefly, the Waterloo game is on the 7th of February, and that is at the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium at 7 o'clock p.m. And the final game of the season will be at University of Toronto at the Varsity Arena, and that will be at 7 o'clock p.m. So if you're available, come out and watch or check it out live on OUA.tv. We'll take a short break now and be back with some basketball. I'm just saying, like, it's a good song, but it puts you in the feels if you listen to all the words.
Oh my goodness, it's crazy sad, eh?
It is really sad, man. But you know what's not really sad? Beating Western twice in 1 week. Actually, three times in 1 week. Let me correct myself there. Our second victory against Western of the week that we occurred was the women's basketball game, by winning that game by a total score of 61-54.
Feels good, eh? And that's in Western. Don't forget.
Oh, love it. Love it. Love it. You know what? I'll admit, I've never been to their gym there. How is their gym there?
It's a stage. It's weird.
Is it filled with good crowd or?
Nah.
No? Nah. Okay. Yeah. You know what? I feel like that's a lot of Western sports. Like, they're so high end on their,
They're so high and mighty above everybody else.
But nobody comes to watch your sports.
Exactly.
At least we get fans where we are. You know, at least we can say that about Laurier. We're a smaller school, but people care. Nothing else to do.
We got tons to do. Come on, have you ever been out in Waterloo?
I know it was a little side joke.
Oh,
Western, they got to walk 20 miles to get to one of their classes. I mean, us, we're just up the street. So I mean, positives there. But big takeaways from the game: Brianna Yanazo dropping 14 points and Jill Condron dropping 12 points of her own, as well as Rachel Woodburn getting 10 points. So a nice trifecta of double-digit scores right there.
And we talk about this all the time, right? Mm-hmm. This is what you want to see. That's exactly what you want to see. You know, there just isn't a scorer this year that is just, I'm going to put up 25, 26. You know what I mean? So you can't rely on those points. You got to do it by committee. And there's no issue with doing it by committee, because when you have talented players like the women's team does, you can do it, but you need everybody participating. And that's exactly what you saw, 12, 14, 10. Maya Day chipping in with 8 points. Sky Johns chipping in with 9 of her own. So you're getting a lot of production out of a lot of people, which is incredibly important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, and again, as we spoke about last week, it's just about playing your role, and whatever that role may be, embracing that role to its fullest extent. Because, I mean, you could look down the roster and you could see, players like Brooklyn Johnson, Alexis Kenyeres, and Hunter Johns not get any points on the board. But, I mean, their production was there. And it was well-received and, very much appreciated. As Hunter Jones herself getting an offensive rebound, Alexis Kenyeres getting one steal, Brooklyn Johnson getting 3 assists. You know what I mean? Their contributions on the scoreboard were all there. It may not always show up in the points department, but never doubt the fact that they are there. They're making their own job, making everyone else's job that much easier by just fulfilling their role to the greatest extent that they can possibly do.
Mm-hmm.
So huge kudos for them for completing that task. And I mean, overall as a game too, just looking at it, in the second, holding Western to a total of 9 points, not even reaching the double-digit plateau there too, is just phenomenal on their part.
For sure. And then following that up in the third quarter, by getting 22 of their own. So it's finishing game strong here. So, you're neck and neck through the first two frames, and then you get into the third and, you're able to pull away.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there on out, you're able to outscore Western consistently. So that is super important. Anytime you can close out games, especially, talking about this with hockey, but these seasons are coming to a close as well pretty soon. There's a few more games in with hockey, but they're coming to a close as well. So it is vitally important that when you're ending these games, that you're not ending by giving up points, by being lackadaisical on defense. Because you know what? Everyone's tired. Your legs are starting to get tired. It's been a full season. You know what I mean? So it's important to make sure, are we able to close out games? And especially on the road. Those are the hardest games to close out. You know, we're students. You have class. You have an assignment.
So much to
You're
do.
Thinking, oh, my goodness, I got a midterm coming this week. I got all these things. Maybe I had to move a class because I had to travel to Western. So we get it. There's a lot of things on your mind. These are the challenges when you're not a pro athlete and you have to play on the road. There's a lot more that comes with it. But being able to stay focused, being able to close out these games is going to be vitally important on the road when you get into playoff time. Because let's be real here. When you get into playoffs, that's when school starts to ramp up as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's not only your sport is ramping up, but the playoffs are ramping up as well. So or school is ramping up as well. So it becomes a lot. So that's where the student-athlete balance becomes very tricky. But being focused and finishing these games are going to be huge.
Absolutely, too. And just briefly touching upon just how big, huge these last few games are, the next couple of games coming up will be against home and homes against Lakehead University, who does currently sit second place right now in the Western Conference with a total of 32 points and 16-4 win-loss record. And just looking at the standings as a whole right now, too, a team they're competing with, the Brock Badgers, who currently sits one spot ahead of Laurier in fourth place. And I do believe that final playoff position, correct me if I am wrong about that one, they do have 18 points and 9-11 record. But I'm just taking a little quick look at Brock here, too, to give you guys a little outlook on that. And for them, they face an equally daunting task as they have Waterloo and Western to play as well. And then they finish their season with a home with a visiting away game, if you will, at Lakehead University back-to-back there,
mm-hmm.
which is not an easy place to play.
Oh, no, that is tough.
So you could definitely argue that these next two home games against Lakehead are integral to basically how the rest of the season is going to go.
They're absolutely going to be vital, just especially when you look at the rest of the season coming up.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I do want to kind of touch on with you is, you know, over the last two games, now, three-point shooting is a cheat code.
Okay.
You know, you can work real hard and get 2 points, 2 points, 2 points, and then that team goes and gets two threes and they're right back with you.
Mm.
So it can be a little bit of a cheat code. And you can watch different teams like Golden State. You're like, you know what? We're right here. We got this. And then all of a sudden you're like, why is the lead 10 points?
James Harden.
Exactly. Houston does the same, can creep up on you. And they're mm-hmm. like, boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
But over these last two games, three-point shooting has been woeful, to say the least. I think it's been 15% in the game against Western. And then looking at the game against Windsor, we're seeing 10%. Now, especially when Laurier is not overall a bad three-point shooting team, I think right now they're averaging around 20% or something like that. So it's not where you necessarily want it to be, especially coming in the playoffs, because those can bail you out in certain situations. So you know, a team goes on a run, a couple threes bring you right back.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a 6-0 run, 7-0 run real quick. Just by hitting some threes and a free throw. You know what I mean? So it's something that you're going to want to see kind of improve, especially when you're going to be home for the next couple of games.
Mm-hmm. The thing about three-point shooting, you know, I've always thought about from my perspective. You know, I'm a bigger man. So typically when I go behind the three-point line, I don't get that kind of respect that other players would get. You know, mm-hmm. they kind of let me shoot free and open. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm an amazing three-point shooter because I'm not. But I have a better chance of knocking them down because I just simply have that opportunity in front of me where I have all the time in the world. I can, you know, take my time, set it up, and just, you know, give the best effort I can do. And I think a lot of times, pardon me, when it comes to three-point shooting, you can get overwhelmed with it in that, you know, it's a deeper shot. You got to put some more knee bend into it. You got to, you know, put more flick of the wrist. You got to put more power into it than you would with a normal two, with, you know, more touch, if you will. It can be an overwhelming thought process as a whole. But the thing to think about when you're taking a three-point shot that I've often found can be successful in my own game, which, I mean, again, I'm not amazing, but just, you know, points I'm throwing around here, is that it's just another shot. You know, it's no different than changing how you would shoot the ball if you're directly under the rim, like 1 foot away compared to like 10 feet away compared to like 30 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
In each and every single scenario, you're changing how you shoot your shot. One's a little stronger, one's a little more touch, depending on how you want to release the ball. Everything's different. And just carrying that mindset beyond the arc, beyond the three-point line, and just thinking to yourself, it's not that it's a more difficult shot, it's just a different shot. Just kind of umbrellaing that term, a three-point shot, with all your other shots, it can be very useful and in mitigating just the difficult factor behind a three-point shot.
Yeah, and what you're really saying is it's not the... It has nothing to do with the mechanics of shooting. It's really the mental of shooting.
Absolutely.
It can be daunting. It really can be daunting when you think, okay, I'm going to shoot a three and that's going to be worth a lot and it's going to be momentum swing and all that. But, you know, sometimes you just got to let it fly.
Absolutely. That's it.
Just, you know how to shoot, let it fly. And that's the way to do it sometimes. But I think when you look at the Windsor game in particular, you know, 1 for 10 is struggling from behind the arc.
For sure. But you look at conversely with Windsor, and I mean, they hit 38%, pardon me, and shot 8 of 21. But the number that jumps out to me isn't the 8 or the 38.1%. It's a 21. They took 21 attempts because it's just another shot at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't let it be bigger than what it is. It's just another shot. Go out.
If it goes, it goes.
Exactly. Exactly. And I feel like when you look at only 10 shots, you kind of get that mental drain that happens to you in your face. You're like, oh my gosh, you know, what happened here? Like, is this a 3-point shot? I got to like really focus on this.
And don't shy away from it. Exactly. Don't shy away from it.
Embrace the moment. I like exactly. to think of. Embrace the moment of a 3-point shot. So, but overall, I mean, at least they shot fantastic in the free throw department as well. Shooting 16 of 17, 94%. That's what you ask for as a expertise in basketball, if you will. So that was huge for them there. But, you know, you're going to have those games against a team like Windsor, who currently sits third place right now with a 14-6 record, you know, who's averaging approximately 30 to 40 points a game. You know, they're playing really well. And they have 1,408 points for their season right now. So they know how to put the ball in the net. So nothing to really get to you as a player or let you just deter you as the season goes along. It's just something to embrace. It happens. And just don't let it shy away from you in the future.
Yeah.
So looking ahead again, just to reiterate as before, the next couple of games again are against Lakehead. They are a home and home on the 8th and 9th of February, respectively. And they will each be at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, and that is again at the home gym. If you can't make it for whatever reason, do be sure to check it out on oua.tv.
And they're both available on Laurier Radio as well.
Oh, there you go. Even better.
So switching to the men's side of things, the men had a very productive weekend where they extend their win streak to, what is it, 7, I believe? 7. They wow. extended their win streak to 7. You know what? There's so many W's, I can't even count them.
Love it.
Wow.
Love
that's crazy, eh? Where your Golden Hawks, they travel to London, where they face the Western Mustangs on Wednesday, January 30th. We're able to come out with a nice victory with a score of 92-83, getting into a higher scoring affair there. And then on the Saturday, February 2nd, they played a home game here where they took on the Windsor Lancers. And with, again, another victory with a score of 85-82, a real nail-biter that one was.
Jeez.
So let's start looking at the Western game with where your Hawks came out with a dominant performance. First thing that stands out to me is your Hawks got off to a start and they never let it go. They jumped out to a 34-point performance in the first quarter alone.
Oh, phenomenal. You know, I think for me, one player that really stands out that isn't your Ali So, is Shadir Tenney.
Yeah.
And you're talking about production from the bench. I mean, the man steps on the court and drops 3 threes for you like that. That is phenomenal. I mean, he had an overall amazing weekend as a whole. But just looking specifically at this game against the Western Mustangs in Western, for him to come off the bench like that and shoot 3 for 5 total, 3-point percentage like that, I mean, the team as a whole shot 47.6% from beyond the arc. 10 of 21. And again, the number that jumps out, is not the 10.
It's the 21. They're shooting it.
Exactly.
I mean, that's super important, as you mentioned. But, I mean, let's not take away. As good as you can get from off-the-bench three-point shooting, which is a huge boost to a team. Anytime a guy can come off the bench and give you 9 points just like that, mm-hmm. That's going to give your team a big lift. But your Hawks were led by Ali So, who was also the one of your athletes of the week. Mm-hmm. Behind his 32 points, which was a game-high 32 points, mm-hmm. And he dragged in about 5 boards on his own. So, you know, a fairly productive day, shooting 3 for 5 from beyond the arc and 11 from 16 from the field.
Oh, phenomenal performance.
That's an absolutely gorgeous number.
That's lethal. That's lethal is what is yelling out to me. And, you know, very much that reminds me of James Harden-esque. You know, just a guy coming out there, producing, gets the ball in clutch time, and just hits the shots you need him to hit. And the thing I like about Ali So, that I don't like so much about James Harden, is though you may see right now that the assist total is not as high as you would maybe hope for, we've seen him capable of distributing the ball and being very effective as being a producer of the ball, as a distributor of the ball, pardon me, as so much of just a pure score,
mm-hmm.
which is very much integral come playoff time, is to be able to let everybody score, everybody get the ball in their hands, and for you to just facilitate these plays and be that type of player is so dangerous and so huge for your team as a whole.
Mm-hmm. But we can also take a look at someone like Kamel Archer.
Oh, yes.
Who was able to put up 18 points from off of the bench.
Mm-hmm.
You can never have too much bench scoring, is what I say.
Oh, absolutely, too. And again, number that jumps off to me is his 5 rebounds. I mean, the first thing you think of when you see Kamel Archer is he's just a presence in the paint. For one, he's a tall, humongous figure who just really sets a tone in the paint. And you know, he's got a fantastic post move. His 1-2 step to the fadeaway, hitting it off the glass, is one of the best I've seen. And he's just a very productive player. And that's all you ask for from your bigs, is make your money in the paint. That's where we bred you. That's where we want you to live.
Mm-hmm. If you can come on, if you can get on the floor for 24 minutes and produce 18 points, I'm more than happy.
Oh, absolutely. Let me tell you. Absolutely. So shifting gears now to our game against the Windsor Lancers, and that was home in Laurier.
And that was a much closer game. Maybe it came down to a nail-biter, I would say.
Oh, huge game. Huge game. And yet again, who stepped up for Laurier Golden Talks in this game? The aforementioned Ali So and the aforementioned Shadir Tenney dropping 4 from 9 from the three-point line, absolutely shooting lights out, and 7 for 12 from the field as a total.
I believe this is his highest points in a game this year.
It definitely is coming out party.
The 18 points is, and I mean, we're not just talking 18 points, but we're talking 18 points, and some of those were some big buckets.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. How many seconds were left in that? When he hit a dagger three, that kind of just kept the Hawks up and gave him that cushion to keep him up for good. And now we talked about, you know, momentum and all that and shooting the shot. And I think everything we've kind of talked about up to this point has kind of culminated into what happened against Windsor in that game. It's the momentum. It's the shooting your shot with confidence. And it all piles together that, you know what, doesn't matter. I'm going to shoot my shot. And it worked. And that's all you need. And just shot it with confidence. Mm-hmm. And that's what's important. You know, it's always tough when you get in these tight games. You know, and you're young men. You're not professionals by any means. That doesn't take away from their skill set. It just says that, you know, they do lack experience on a year's basis as a pro might. So there are different things that could affect you. So, you know, that you're coming down to the wire, you know, you are a good team. You're a team who is on the national leaderboard.
Just went up in the rankings, actually.
They did go up as a result of some of these games. And it's proving that, you know, when we are faced with these type of close games, these type of who can kind of handle the pressure, they can come out on top. And that's part of the reason why their national ranking actually has gone up. Your Hawks are actually currently sitting at number 8 right now. Fantastic. Because of that.
And I think, you know, looking at that too, I look at it as you're currently sitting in first place in the West right now. You got 30 points. You're clinching a playoff spot, it's fair to say.
They certainly have.
Absolutely, too. And your attention now, I would think, starts to shift a little bit towards Carleton and Ryerson and even a little bit of Ottawa. You know, we've seen their game against Carleton, very tight, you know, tightly contested game, that they were very much in that game for the throughout. And their game against Ryerson was very difficult, you know, different beasts altogether. But you've seen what you can do against the West, against the best that the West has to offer. You've taken care of it. And now it's, can I stand up with the best in Ontario as a whole?
Yeah. And Canada.
And Canada next. Absolutely, too. Just keep moving up in those rankings. And quite frankly, I made this bold statement at the start of the year, too. I think they can do it. I mean, I know Ryerson went toe-to-toe with Duke, and they played pretty well. But heck, man, you want to send Zion and RJ against us? Ali So and Shadir can go hand-in-hand with them. Camille can go and take some charges.
Don't forget Norrie's out there. We can. This is a team that can play ball. And that's really what it comes down to. They can ball out. They've proven that they can ball out not only against the easy teams, but when it's hard. They've proven, you know what? They know how to handle some losses. They know how to be in close games. They know how to act when they're in not so close games. This is a team, to me, that can be very dangerous when you get in that OUA playoff.
Absolutely.
And I see them as a legitimate shot. And you know this is going to come down to, at some point, it's going to come down to, hey, you're going to be playing a Carleton or you're going to be playing a Ryerson when it comes down, all said and done. You're going to have to play one of those two teams. But I think they have a legitimate shot right now because if I believe they, if once they get to the Wilson Cup, they'll be in the final eight?
Yeah, I think it's like the top seed and like the next best seed or something like that that go to the final eight from each conference or something like that after the playoffs are all said and done within their own conferences.
So this is a team, hey, and that's all you got to do. It's like, don't get me wrong, getting a provincial championship, it is an accomplishment, and that is something you'll remember for the rest of your life. But there is something to be said about saying you're a national championship. And this is a team right now that has a legitimate shot at claiming a national championship.
And, I mean, don't sleep because the NBA scouts look at that too. I mean, you look at the recent trend in the last few years. You're looking at Jamal Murray's an obvious one. You're looking at the guy in the Clippers, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, another big name that's been stepping up huge for them. Canadians on the rise. You know, NBA scouts, they look north of the border, and the thing they love to watch the most is playoffs and is these type of teams that can get this kind of this type of deep in the playoffs and can have these stars lead them and just will them throughout these kind of difficult matchups, which Loria has been showing thick and thin that they are capable of doing. So if not for anything, do it for a job in the future. Because tell me you wouldn't love to be playing on these nightly bases against guys like LeBron James and, you know, Nikola Jokic or something that comes to my mind right away. So rounding out the rest of the Laurier men's basketball season, again, the aforementioned Lakehead will be playing, again, home and home on the 8th and 9th. The men's games, however, will be at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, respectively, for both those games. Again, on OUA.TV or Radio Laurier if you aren't able to watch it on TV. And be sure to check it out if you can. That about wraps up our show for this week's episode of Hawkeyes. We thank you guys for joining and tuning in. And we'll catch you guys next week.
Peace.